for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. We are here tonight with a great guest, and I'm going to bring on Nikki. Nikki, are you around?
Hello.
I thought I lost you.
Nope, still here. Sorry.
That's okay. I think I wasn't even 100% sure that I was the one doing the introduction. So
I kind of figured when I heard that long pause, and I was like, But you made it through it, so that's a plus, you know.
I'm not used to the role reversal.
I know.
And you can tell by the the absurdly crappy way that started out. But
well, here, I'll give everyone a little taste of the usual. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, clearly. That's not my government name. And I'm talking here with Rob. How you guys doing tonight?
Let's bring him on.
Yeah, go ahead. Bring him on. There you are.
Hello.
Wonderful.
See, I don't have like that whole like Rob paranormal thing that I can go to. So like
that would be weird.
I was trying to copy your typical like introduction, but I was like, wait, I'm not paranormal, so.
Nope.
I got like.
Fun. You're just Rob.
Yeah.
You're like a prince. You know, it's like one word type deal. Then you could become a symbol. What would it be?
I don't know. I guess a Ouija board. Because now I'm a Ouija
you.
Board,
we did pop your Ouija cherry over the weekend. Yep, I said it.
Yeah, you did. You know,
I totally did, and it was funny because I could just see you going, she just really said that. Yes,
yeah.
I did. And it really happened. For those of you who didn't catch it, that's really, really, like, shame on you because we were streaming live on a page by the name of Bloody Disgusting that we did a little partnership with. And they, you know, were very nice to have us on there, and we did lots of cool things, one of them being Rob having his first Ouija use, okay, on that stream. So what do you think of the Ouija board, Rob?
Well, seeing that we're doing a radio show about it, we have a guest. I figure
I'm thinking it went well, yeah.
If not, then I probably would just like swept under the rug. The only downside for me is the fact that I've been holding out for like publicly,
I know.
Like what, like 10 years or at least 6 years now.
But it truly was your first time using one, correct?
Legitimate. Yeah.
Okay, because the way you said that was like you've been holding out publicly, and I was like, what?
Well, I mean, I was
under the impression that you have never actually used one.
Well,
so
I meant like,
and that's still true.
I founded our website in 2007. Prior to that, I didn't like walk the streets and be like, hey, everybody, I've never used a Ouija board. You know,
well,
before,
I meant, before
I had a voice of an outlet to like share that with somebody,
uh-huh.
I don't think no one, I didn't really like walk around and like just openly share that information. So I guess
you don't have a t-shirt that you wore before that said you ever used one?
Nope, I do not.
Well, now we can get you a t-shirt that says that you have used one.
And obviously, I'm much older than 10 years old.
Congrats.
Mentally, I might be about 5 or 6, but you always say. So, you know,
sometimes,
I guess the point was that, like, before I publicly was like, I did a podcast or, you know, wrote stuff or whatever it was. I just didn't necessarily felt the need to just openly tell people because it would just be, like, weird.
Maybe, yeah, probably.
You know, and then with pretty much anything, I kind of have the mindset where, you know, once somebody told me, hey, you need to use this or you should try it, and then I said no, then I just had to kind of stick with that. You know,
right.
And so I had to let it go on and on and on. You know,
well, as I know all too well. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was little like the little known fact is that like it wasn't that I had anything against them or I didn't have anything against trying them. It was just the fact that I was just trying to wait it out and make it as long as possible because I had that to go to with people like, hey, you're using Ouija boards? Like, no. You know, and you try to get me to do it, and I think the fun part about it was just saying no. You know, so.
Well, that is now, you know, a thing of the past.
Yeah, I know. I got to find something now, so I'll be.
Oh, great.
Trying to figure that out. Got something else to vote for 10 years now coming up, I guess. But.
You know, you might have been the only person at OuijaCon, you know, that was in Baltimore a few years back that had actually gone to the event yet never used one. I don't know. I would like to have figured out, like, a little, you know, do a little study. You might have been the only one. You could have, again, gotten a T-shirt.
Well, and that was kind of, like, the point when I was like, all right, I'm standing firm. Once again, for no reason. Just
right.
To be,
other than just to be a pain.
An a-hole or something, whatever you want to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All the above. Bits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I had no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I have to say, for someone who had their first experience using Ouija board over the weekend, it was a rather amazing session, I have to say. I as you know, I love Ouija board. I have quite a collection. I'm sure not nearly as many as our guests tonight or some of our guests in the past, but I have my own little collection. And, you know, I like them. And I have to say, out of many, many, many sessions that I have done, I'd have to say that the one that we have done this weekend might have actually been one of the most profound, I think, sessions. For me, I mean, I've done quite a few, and, you know, maybe that's the most profound because it's the most recent, and the fact that it was, you know, the fact that you gave in and actually used the Ouija board, maybe that kind of heightens that on that list. I'm not sure because I have had some amazing communication. But given the location that we were at and the fact that you had never used one before, I think that, you know, it was actually great. We had a really valuable session, and we got stuff that kept repeating over and over again. And for those of you who are, you know, watch a lot of YouTube and things of that sort, we did not get Zozo. We did not get Mama. We got the initials of one of the owners, the guy actually who built the location that we were streaming at. And it took us a few seconds to let that click, I guess, to figure out that's what they meant. But when you keep getting it over and over again, it gives you that time, I guess, to put those pieces together to go, wait a minute. That was pretty cool.
Well, and I think if we're going to go big with the show tonight, I decided we might as well have the guy who built the biggest one ever.
Right? You go big or you go home, right? So you went all the way. You were like,
perfect.
Boom. Boom.
It's been in the news recently.
Yes.
And the fact that I've tried it for the first time. Once again, nothing wrong with it, just to be sure. I think tonight's going to be a really great show. So why don't we will save all the details of our amazing.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I think I just spilled a whole bunch of them if you weren't paying attention. My bad.
I was paying attention because I was responding. Unlike the time when I don't respond, then, you know, I'm not paying attention. But or sometimes when it makes no sense, and I'm also not responding.
Right.
So.
Right.
Let's bring on the guest tonight. I'm excited.
I am too.
Rich, I keep. Let's bring him on.
Okay.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Hi.
We are doing.
Hello there.
Hi.
You are doing. Doing lots of Ouija talk. I hear that.
Yes.
And I thought it was, you know, I had gave you the quick 3-second rundown on Facebook about, you know, this was my very first time that I gave in, and with no other detail. And I wanted to, you know, have you on tonight. We wanted to have you on and, you know, talk about it. It's been, it seems like for the past, like, what, month or 3 weeks, I have, every time I've gone on Facebook, I have seen some sort of article written about what you accomplished. And I'm not like a big Facebook goer where I like scroll other people's stuff. So, you know, it's probably the most heavily talked about thing over the past like 3 weeks that I've ever seen on Facebook still. And
so congratulations.
Yeah, way to go.
Thank you. I'm Facebook famous. Super awesome.
yeah, for sure.
So I guess we wanted to find out more about your experiences and, you know, what led you to construct, you know, this thing. And it's just, I think it's a really cool story. I'll be honest, we had Karen on, what, was it like 3 days or 4 days before she was flying out?
Yeah.
So, you know, we got kind of a random little preview for you and stuff. And we talked about it, and I know it kind of, you know, pumped up us about it. And that kind of led me to doing the Ouija board for the first time and giving into, you know, holding tight on for so many years. So you changed my life with this.
Thanks for letting me serve. So what do you want to know about the Ouija-Zilla?
Yes.
Yes. But Ouija-Zilla.
How did that come about?
How did it come about? Well, you guys, you know Robert Murch. Of course, you were at WeezerCon.
Yeah.
And me and Murch, we go back a long, long time. We're like, we were young, and now we're aging together. But he doesn't look any different because he sold his soul. That's what he told me. So that's why he's still a show.
I think it's because he's got a shaved head. I think it's when,
yeah, probably.
Your head early, and you have no hair to tell if it's gray or receding. You can't tell.
But he doesn't even have a wrinkle.
Yeah.
Not a
I kind of I look like Wolfman Jack. Everybody calls me Wolfman Jack now. I did have black hair at one time. But, you know, Murch and I were talking years ago, and I had this silly idea that I wanted to paint a football field with a Ouija board and park my car in the middle of it with a planchette on the top and put it in neutral and see if I can get my car to move. And it was an ongoing joke for many years that we talked about. And it evolved into me wanting to paint on a frozen lake and sit on a sled and see if it would move. And
I love this. This is amazing.
Yeah. And it was just always a funny joke. And then a couple of years ago, I bought a hearse. I have a hearse, and my wife has a hearse as well. And mine was in bad condition, so I modified the back of my hearse to be a pull-out table Ouija board. And it's the first of its kind. It's a Ouija hearse. And so that was like my favorite thing I'd ever done. And Murch is like, well, how the heck are you going to top this one, bud? You know, you made a drivable Ouija hearse. What are you going to do now? And a couple of years later, Stranger Things had come out. And Murch goes, you know what? Why don't you try to – because I told him I wanted to put a Ouija board on the front of my house, but I basically was going to just paint a piece of plywood and put like a planchette on a spring and have it just go back and forth, like, you know, like a cheesy yard decoration. And Murch was like, why don't you make it like Stranger Things and make it answer when kids yell questions at your house? And I was like, Murch, you're like a tech-savvy dude. I can't do that stuff. Because he figured, why don't you just put it to an app and make it answer? And I asked a lot of friends to help me, and nobody was willing to take the job. And I know a lot of electricians, and they were just like, you're crazy, you know? So it took me 2 months to figure out, but I did it using dollar store nightlights, and I wired a whole keyboard myself, and I could sit inside my house and punch answers. And, you know, so the front of my house became a Ouija board that responded to children. And we did it 2 Halloweens in a row. And then as a publicity stunt, I did it for Christmas 1 year. And I painted the light bulbs red and green, and I dressed like Zombie Santa. And I told the kids to come to my house and ask what they were getting for Christmas. That was a fun one. I thought I'd get the neighbors to go crazy, but they all loved it. So from there, Merch says again, how are you going to top that? That thing is huge. It's a, you know, couple hundred pound Ouija board. And he goes, why don't you just make the biggest one in the world, the one you always talked about? And I was like, there's no way on planet Earth I can afford to do that, man. I can't afford the wood. And I have a buddy. I own a tattoo shop in New Jersey. And a good friend of mine, I was tattooing. He works at a shipping company. It's Trans-American Shipping. And he told me they build wood crates the size of my tattoo shop. He said, I could give you all the wood you need and more. And I figured out a board that would take 99 sheets of plywood, 4x8 plywood. And he's like, you got it. The wood was delivered to my shop free of charge, and the rest is history.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
So, yeah, there's 70-pound sheets of plywood. It was – I got a workout moving those things around every night, painting them, because it wasn't easy.
Now, did you have to lay all 99 out? Or did you have how did you go one at a time and then kind of have it all mapped out with number sequence on the back of it, or how was that put together?
Yeah. So what I did was I took a 1998, an old, I think it's a Hasbro. I always confuse the two, Parker Brothers Hasbros, because it was that switchover. But it's a glow-in-the-dark one from 1998. And I took one of those, and I drew a grid on it. So now, basically, all I have is a big rectangular puzzle, right? And I figure I have a projector from 1988. I'm aging myself now. I went to art school in 1988 and got kicked out. But one thing I had left was this projector where you can enlarge things on the wall. So I figure I'll paint this puzzle. If I do it very carefully and I paint each piece one at a time, in time, I'll do 99. It's just, all I got is I have to just do a little bit every single day. And it took a year and a half.
That's awesome.
I'm in awe. And see, I was an art major. I didn't get kicked out. I decided to quit. But I also have one of those projectors. So if I would have known, we could have knocked it out in, like, you know, 9 months instead of a year and a half. So.
Yeah, right?
Time, let me know. Cause that's the...
When you build one that's a little bit bigger, right? Because that's how you
yeah, well,
have the previous one, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I keep joking that, you know, okay, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, where do you go next from that?
Well, people keep asking me, they said, you know, would you beat your own record? I said, you know what? Ouijazilla will be dominated by Ouija Kong if I have to. I'll just do a King Kong one.
Oh, my God. I love it. That's so cool.
And going bigger is not a problem. It's just time. You know, and my buddy would probably give me more wood again. He's really super cool.
Wow, that's amazing. How it all came together, you know, like you had that idea, but
yeah.
You thought, how am I going to get the materials, you know, to do that? That's a lot. And then
mm-hmm.
to have everything just kind of come together, and I mean, that's just awesome. And it's actually totally awesome because I saw pictures. I was in Salem the weekend before, unfortunately. I didn't have this timed out right, obviously, or I would have been able to be there for that. I was so upset when I got home and found out. I was like, no! Yeah.
You know,
so I think Rob's
like
going to
say...
He's going to have to pull the one that you have made with the hearse, I think, you know,
yeah.
to experience that. That seems like... What do you say, Rob? Doesn't
oh,
that
hell
sound
yeah.
cool?
It does. I think all of your ideas are fantastic.
I love it.
It's right up my alley. Because I always have, like, these crazy ideas. And you know what? She always tells me, you're stupid. And you know what? This reminds me that my ideas are not stupid, so I'm going to keep telling them.
No, but those are good ideas. That's nothing like your ideas, Rob.
My ideas are just as good.
No.
I just need one person to believe in my ideas.
Yeah.
You just
got to
believe in yourself. Just believe in yourself.
That's all you need is a little self-motivation, and now
well,
I have it.
Well, maybe one time we can hang out. We'll drive the Ouija hearse into a cemetery, and we'll break all the rules.
Yes. I'm totally down for that. Yes. I love breaking rules.
What got you interested in the Ouija board in general? Like, what did the passion for that? Because you have to have a passion for that. Yeah, well, you know, the largest one.
Yeah, I'm 49 years old, and I grew up in the heavy metal 80s. So it was a real product of the 80s, you know, during when, like, you know, my high school, Cedar Ridge High School in Old Bridge, we actually had a section in my school library labeled Satanism and Witchcraft. That was a thing. And that was a thing in the stores, too, long before they called it New Age, and then they called it Metaphysical. But for a long time, it was the Satanism Witchcraft section. And I was, my nose was buried in that section every single day. I was very fascinated with it. And I had heard this myth that Ouija boards were made by witches using used coffin lids. And I'm like, man, I really want to have one of those one day. I always wanted to own a Ouija board made out of a used coffin lid, and I always wanted to own a hearse. So I almost got both of my bucket lists complete.
Well, now, do you have a large collection? You know, like, not like a Bob Burt size collection, but like an actual, yep. You have a bit of a collection, or?
No, nobody has a Bob merch size. Merch has lost more boards than I own. He has like a storage facility for his boards. He's like at a bunker.
Yeah.
But no,
exactly.
I have, if you were to add them all up, I would estimate close to 200, somewhere around there.
That's still impressive. I mean, you know, for sure. That's more than I have. I'm jealous.
Not by today's collector standards. Like, people are just going Ouija crazy, and they're, you know, I got three kids and a mortgage, and I own a business, and I, you know, I was buying Ouija boards. Me and Merch met a very long time ago when eBay was the Wild West, and you were still able to sell, send cash, and Ouija boards were going top dollar was like $60. You know, I got a lot of my Ouija boards for about $40. I remember one time I bought one for $99, and my wife wanted to kill me. She's like, $100 for a stupid Ouija board? Yeah, and now you look at the price tag of thousands, it's just way out of my price range.
Yeah, definitely. I did not own one. Only because I was staying true to form. I'm not, you know, like I said, there was no reason for me not trying one. You know, and we had some very interesting results, which, to be completely honest with you, I would have imagined in my wildest dreams that we'd actually have some sort of communication with it on top of it. But I knew if I kind of had the mindset of being, you know, unopen to the fact of, you know, seeing where it took me, that I would be doing myself an injustice.
Right.
So, you know, we did a session, and we were at a place called the Keeley Mansion. And, you know, so I went for it. And we got F and then K. And I was like, what the hell, FK? It doesn't make any sense. That's what I was thinking. And then it dawned on me, the guy who owned the place was Francis Keeley. Frederick Keeley, sorry. So Frederick Keeley, I was thinking to myself, you know, that would be his initials. Obviously, if I'm trying to communicate using the board, I don't know if I would try to spell out the whole name Frederick Keeley because it's a long name. And the weird part about it is we got the same response three consecutive times. And to me, in my research in the paranormal, I find multiple times of the same thing is what kind of interests me.
Right.
I'd have to agree because, you know, the more often that you have some type of response and, you know, the more frequent you get it, you know that it has meaning, I think, personally.
You know, and F and K is, you know, kind of random letters, but when I thought about it being initials, you know, they could be what we were, you know, getting. And I guess when you have done way more sessions than my one, obviously, is there any kind of messages you received that kind of been profound or stuck with you throughout the years?
For me, you know, believe it or not, I heard you guys talking about OuijaCon, and you were saying you were probably the only person there that never used a Ouija board. I always think I was the only person there that never successfully used it alone. You know, I've used it with other people, and it moves all around, but like the skeptic in me keeps thinking somebody's pushing it. So
right.
I ask questions that only I know the answers to, and I've never gotten those mm-hmm. answers. You know, I've had a lot of people use a board in my house, and they'll use whatever boards they want, and I'm always asking the same questions, like, who is the woman who I bought this house from who died? Just give me initials. Give me your first name.
Yeah.
And nobody's been ever able to hit it. But they've hit crazy things where they were talking to something one time through a Pen G board. It's this board called Pen G, which is a pendulum board, but it's mm-hmm. Recognized as a Ouija board according to the Museum of Talking Boards, Gene Orlando site. Mm-hmm. So we were using that thing, and it came to say it was angry, and they were asking why, and it said me. And then they were asking if it wanted to hurt me, and it said yes. And I was so happy. I was like, yes, bring it on. Like, I got some kind of angry spirit after me in my house. Let's go. I want to live the poltergeist moment, you know?
Right.
So yeah, like, I, as a little kid, again, growing up in the 80s, the movie Poltergeist excited me so much that I really, really wanted that. I wanted to live that. You know, I wanted the Exorcist thing, too, but I don't want the spin in the head thing. You know, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can recover from that. Physically, that seems like that's not something you can recover from.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I got a bad enough sore neck. You know, I'm at the age now where I get sleep injuries. If I sleep wrong, I got a bad neck. So I don't need anything else.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Don't Nikki's probably like, don't get him started because I can.
Oh my God, he's
I
like
can talk about
yeah.
for another hour.
More than an hour, you guys. I'd be like, all right, so next week I'll just, you know, tune back in same time we do our show, and you guys might have wrapped up because Rob will finish finally, perhaps. those type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll tell you a trick story, which is super sad. Is earlier this year I tore my calf muscle. And she laughs at it. It was a whole funny scenario. It was really, really bad. I dropped off at this casino because I was like, you know what? I know you just did your hair. You had your makeup on or whatever. So I'll go park the car. And I completely underestimated the distance between the car and where you park and the entrance of the casino. And it was pouring. It was like this huge electrical storm. And I heard it was like the biggest electrical storm in like the history of Pennsylvania. Like, everyone was talking about it. And I'm like 300 yards away. And I was like, wow, this is, I should not have done this. And I had broken my hip like 4 years ago. So I guess I run a little off or something. And I started picking up my pace.
You weren't running.
Okay. It wasn't a run, but it was like a fast.
It was a jog walk.
A jog walk. And like 10 steps into it, I tore my calf. And so I'm standing in the middle of the parking lot in the casino in the rain, and it's just, I can't move. And I'm like, you need to come out and get me. She's like, I can't come out and get you. I don't want to get my hair wet. And I'm like, I can't walk. And I'm just standing in the middle of the parking lot. And it, you know, the saddest part about that is, you know, my leg was like the size of, I don't even know what it was the size of, like huge, like three legs. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, well, you know, it's a very common middle-aged man injury. And I think that hurt worse than anything else was to hear the fact that I was now considered middle-aged man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now you got a torn calf muscle and hurt pride.
That story, it hurts more just the fact that I'm a middle-aged man now by statistics. And I thought I had like two or three more years before that hit in, but apparently not.
And you got injured doing a jog walk.
Yeah, we
a slow trot.
All right. Uh-huh. A very slow trot.
The whole story is just
Just think about it. We're halfway to the point where people are using a Ouija board to talk to us.
There you go.
That's my happy birthday to everybody. I always tell people when someone turns old, like, you know, a lot of people pretty much my age, don't talk to like little kids or anything. But I'm like, they want to get closer talking to you on the ghost box.
Right.
And
there you go.
Well, it depends. It depends who I tell it to. They find it comical or they, you know, send me a message like, hey, that's a stupid response. But that's, I try to stay true to form. I don't usually give a lot of birthday greetings, maybe like 3 or 4 a year, but that's the one I do give, is 1 year closer to talking to you on the
great.
Ghost box. So.
Oh man.
Like I said,
yo, you want to hear something
like
funny about you want to hear something funny about Ouijazilla? When the wood was first delivered, my wife and I, we went, now it's this cold, dark garage behind my tattoo shop with no electricity. I have to run extension cords into there just for light. And I had 10 panels delivered. So that's 700 pounds. And I took them and I leaned them against the wall when they were delivered. I go to Kate, my wife, I go, I'm gonna thumb through these and see if any of them are damaged. So I'm in like, it's almost like a hallway. They consider it a room, but it's really thin. So the boards are leaning up against one wall, but I'm really like 4 feet away from the other wall, right? And I'm flipping them up to look through them like a deck of cards. And because I'm a dummy, I had all 10 straight up, and the weight came towards me, and I couldn't stop it. And went all the way against, I went against the wall behind me, and I took 700 pounds to my stomach. The thing just came all the way down and completely stopped on my gut, like the edge of the wood. And I was pinned against the wall, and I was calling my wife as best I could because I couldn't breathe. And she came running back, and she's screaming, and I'm like, calmly take one panel off at a time. And she was able to do that. So I had to sit there and wait for her to pull 10 panels off. And I got a big, giant, like a contusion across my stomach. But what a cool story that would have been, that the guy making the world's largest Ouija board got killed by it.
I don't know if it would have been as cool. I don't know. I mean, maybe, if we didn't, like, know you, or we didn't think you were cool, years and years down the road, then people be like, oh, that's so cool, man. But, now, yeah. No.
It was a cool moment. Like, Ouijazilla. Yeah, right. Ouijazilla almost tried to Final Destination me, man.
Were you suspended off the ground at all, or were you just like, still touching?
No, I was standing on the ground with my back against the wall. Imagine all that wood diagonal into my stomach, pinned against the other wall.
That's not good.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. But you guys would have been able to talk to me through it, whoever finished it.
You're right. You would have been like, I will communicate and tell you guys the way. This is how to do this. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would probably next time, complain. But I don't know if that's the right.
Better luck next time. Maybe Ouija Con will take me out.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my.
But now, are you into like the paranormal stuff as well? Or, like with ghost hunting and all the other stuff that falls underneath that category? Or are you just like just use the Ouija board? Or do you use like other stuff as well?
One time I was asked that in a question. They said, are you into the paranormal? And I said, you know what? What you guys call paranormal, my family calls normal, right? Love all that stuff, but do I – we haven't had cable television in over 10 years. My wife decided we were going to cancel our cable because we felt like it was dumbing down our children. And I now have all honor roll students who – one daughter's a librarian. And they probably have about 2,000 books. They read like crazy. So whenever I meet somebody at one of these paranormal conventions, I have no idea I'm walking in and shaking hands with somebody that's famous in the paranormal world because I don't know any of the shows. And it's not that I don't like them or anything. I just – I'm not exposed to them. I'm kind of cut off from all that. So the last time I ever watched like a ghost hunting show and learned about ghost hunting stuff was when the original one with the plumber dudes were doing it. I remember that. And that was like the last time I ever saw ghost hunting stuff. So my wife and I, we got one of them little EMF things, with the red light on it. And we were trying to use dowsing rods. But other than that, we just freely welcome anything into our home that wants to come, and anything that wants to communicate with me can. We've seen plenty of things, everybody in my house, my daughters especially. And I don't really seek it out because I feel comfortable that it's all around me.
Well, I think we'll have to invite you out to an investigation with us at some point.
Yeah.
I would love it.
And or we'll have to, you know, make sure you have a device or something that we can give you that you can try and use in your house and document it and stuff. But there's got to be something we can take this to the next level with, because we have an abundance of stuff. Like, we did an investigation with this a site on Saturday called Bloody Disgusting, and it's the top horror site. And I think Nicole, it took her like 7 hours to pack up all of her stuff. That's how much stuff she had.
Yeah, and that wasn't even all of it. That was just a little bit of my stuff. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that thing. I guess it's called a ghost box, which is like the radio going back and forth. And I saw a video of it, and I'm like, what the heck is that? I didn't even know what it was.
Well, and that was something, too, that I guess I minorly kind of had a Ouija board type of mindset on that. You know, to me, it was like, it gave me a migraine. It just like, you have the radio sound. I would just never try it. And Nicole had me try it, maybe like around 3 or 4 years ago. And now it's really a staple of our investigations.
You see this influence? Wow. I get him to start using ghost boxes. I get him to start doing the Ouija board. I mean, some would think that that was a cool thing. Some would think that I'm a horrible influence on him.
Really
makes me laugh.
Amongst other things, just a really bad. But no, with the Ouija board, I knew if I was going to do it, I trust her not to be like, you know, not to be goofing around. And she actually had said, hey, did you goof around? Like, did you move that on purpose because we were on, like, a big, like, national live stream? I'm like, no, I didn't do it. So, you know, it was, that was legit. And the ghost box is, you know, essentially just that jammed radio, so it just seeks and scans constantly and creates almost like a white noise effect. Though you have, like, a little, you know, a little bleeder and little blurps of radio that, you know, because it scans so fast, you will get little parts of words, but when you get full sentences and intelligent communication, I can't explain. You know, I don't recall my very first, like, part or investigation where I actually got an intelligent response that, like, was profound. My first, I don't recall that. Maybe she would remember, but I've gotten a lot of stuff that I can't explain to you why we've gotten intelligent responses. Like, I've had my full first and last name. I mean, I have so many intelligent responses that I just can't. I believe in them full-heartedly. And the one thing that we always preach is responsible ghost boxing, which, you know, and we use this in our presentation, is when I started out, people would let the ghost box beat them. And I think that's kind of a foolish way to use that device, because you could ask a question and make it a little bleed through with the radio. So you could say, hey, who am I talking to? And this actually had happened. And the word hot dog came through. And then they're like, oh, my God, hot dog. And, of course, that's no response to what your name is. No, it's not telling yourself.
Right.
For me, it's a baseball game. This is scanning AM radio. And they're like, oh, my God, you got to be hungry? You know, and then they let that be them. And no matter what they heard, then they would use that response to kind of build a scenario. Like, oh, my God, this guy's hungry. What's your favorite food? And then it's like green. They're like, oh, my God, they want a green food. You know, that's to me, that's more like letting that lead you. And that's kind of what we preach is, you know, don't let it lead you and see where it goes. And we, you know, there's been so many responses. And
I can't remember your first. I mean, come on. As many ghost box sessions as we've done, I don't even know what the most, like, the first intelligent response that I felt I received through a ghost box.
No.
Couldn't tell you.
Because people will listen to it and they're like, yeah, we saw you use that or never heard you use that. We think it's dumb. And, you know, we've had people who have had no reason to say that, you know, they would agree to, you know, that's a good device. And you know, we've gone out with, like, professional athletes and stuff, and they've been, just their mind has been blown, because when you watch it, everyone thinks it's fake. You know, there's no way.
Right.
And we even did an investigation about a month ago with this actor, I don't know if you know who Corey Feldman is, but he was like, that, there's no way that this just sounds like nonsense. You know, I don't buy into it. And we took him to investigate in Gettysburg, where Nicole works, and it said his full first and last name. And he was like, yeah, I'm a believer now. So it's an interesting device, but, you know, like I said, you just have to let it
I think it's like anything else. You have to experience something, you know, whether it be paranormal or, you know, whatever. You have to experience it yourself for it to be able to wrap your head around it, maybe, or to even just
right.
be interested in trying to wrap your head around it. And, you know, it's really easy to dismiss so many things. But when it says, like, for Corey, it said his first and last name. How do you deny that? You know, that's...
Wow.
I mean, yeah, he's famous and stuff, but I mean, he's not coming through radio frequency waves or, like, you know, they're not talking about him on the radio all the time.
Well, I think he was more famous.
That'd be weird.
He said in the 80s. That'd be like his time frame.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He was huge. Nowadays. Yeah.
Right.
Well, he's got a band where he sings with now, but nobody's listening.
Yeah.
I know.
I love the videos. He has a song called "Duh." It is the best video ever.
I actually will admit that I sit sometimes and watch his videos and I.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had experience? In our house, have you ever been touched by things? Where you feel it physically? But in our home, I used to, when my daughters were born, they're 15 and 16 now. When they were born, that's when a lot of stuff was getting wonky in our house. Like when we had little babies in the house, things were really weird. And I used to have these two Brazilian Mastiffs. They're called Felas. I actually bought them over in Pennsylvania over there at this place, Kimbertall Kennels, right? And they were big dogs. Like they could get up to 200 pounds, big, massive dogs. And my hallway I have a two-story colonial house. All my Ouija boards are mounted on the walls in the hallway and the stairway coming up to my bedroom.
I love it.
Awesome. Yeah, and all the funky stuff that ever happened to us has always happened in the doorway to my master bedroom. So one day I was laying down on the bed and I was upstairs. My wife was downstairs with my daughters and I'm laying on my bed. I had my back to the door opening to the hallway. And you know, like a big dog, they come and they like, you know, they sniff your butt, like they'll stick their nose in your butt type of thing. I had big dogs
yep.
and I was laying on my, I was laying on my bed. Right. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. Like I thought one of my dogs was like sniffing my butt while I was laying down. And I turn around and there's no dogs there. So I call them and they're not answering. I look, they're not upstairs. So I go downstairs and I go to my wife. I go, where are the dogs? And she said, they're down here laying down. And I said, you're going to believe this, but I swear to you, it felt like something. I thought the dogs were sniffing my butt and like pressing. And my wife, she turned white. She was, the same thing happened to me. I never told you. Right. So I'm like, that's not even a cool story. If we thought we had a ghost, we got like some kind of butt ghost thing going on. Right. And one day my wife took a picture. I could send it to you. My wife took a picture of my daughter sleeping. And I know a lot of people don't like orb photos, but this is an unusual one. Like the orb is the size of half of my daughter and it's all by her butt, which is weird. And I'm like, so we call her that photo the butt ghost.
Yes,
cool,
I think you might have it. You might have a butt ghost. No, you might have a butt ghost. I mean, with all the similarities and everyone's, you know, whether it be the picture or
yeah.
both of your experiences, you've got a weird ghost, man. You got a butt ghost.
You know what?
That's my coolest attempt at a story. My butt ghost.
That's awesome. No,
I've never heard that before. So
you're probably not alone. You're probably not alone. Other people probably had the same thing happen, and they just didn't. You know, a lot of people aren't comfortable sharing their experiences because they think
yeah.
that people are going to either not believe them or they're going to be like, "Dude, that's weird." Who knows? Whatever. I've got weird experiences that happen to me on the daily. You know, I share them, and I'm
mm-hmm.
sure people just think I'm weird. It's cool. But you've got a
right.
butt ghost, and that's pretty awesome.
Well, I think people think that she's weird no matter what.
Yeah, I am.
But that's irrelevant. So, But now we have to figure out how to get on an investigation. If you've never used a ghost box, you know, we'll have to get that. We'll have to make
that
happen soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Where in New Jersey are you?
I'm like dead center in central New Jersey. I live in Milltown.
Okay.
If you would have pulled New Jersey in half, we're right in the middle. All
right.
Okay. I'm in Maryland.
I'm in Cleveland. So.
Cleveland.
Not too close, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We drive all over.
Yep.
Well, you know, we'll cross paths somewhere.
Oh, for sure. We'll make it a point to.
Definitely.
I think you need to go investigate the butt ghost, Rob.
Yeah, I think that would be a first. They're like, what do you guys got going on this weekend? We got this, this investigation.
Yeah.
We're going
there'd
to
be a group
see
of dudes,
if we can
a
have
group of dudes
butt around. Ghost.
Yeah, you have a bunch of guys sitting around in their underwear. Go, anybody feel their butt being touched?
This one might not be a live stream, just because it could be weird. But, you know, any good captures could definitely be put on, you know, the website. I think it's great.
You know what would have been better is if you wouldn't have told us, you're like, hey, we want you to come investigate. And then we go and investigate. We're like, you know what happened? This is a weird story. It would have been great not to know because, you know, if we would have came up with that, you know, and that would have been one that, like, is so weird that, you know, what I've learned is we say exactly what we get. We say exactly the experiences we have because you never know what kind of experience that person has had. So if we would experience something like that, we would openly say, you know, this might be weird, but, you know, I think it's something that we need to look into because I haven't heard that before.
Researching.
Wow. All right.
This could be a mini series. I think I'm down for this.
I have felt someone lay next to me before. And I don't think I've even told Nicole the story, but it was just a weird story.
I don't think
Years and years ago, but I'm pretty sure it was not like butt related. So.
No, you don't recall yet, but perhaps if we do, you know, a regression back to that time period, maybe there was, you know, some butt involved. I don't know.
I've blocked out.
Right. Exactly. We can dig deep.
But it was I'm trying to think where you go from butt ghost and the segue. I've never segued off of butt ghost.
Anywhere. You can only go anywhere with it, Rob. I mean, it's pretty awesome though. I'm gonna keep going back to it because I totally think there's so many people who have had experiences like that who just haven't said anything. And I tell you, there's even people who have come over to your house, like your friends, who probably had the same thing happen, and they're like, dude, what the hell? You know, and they're like, I'm not going to go be like, dude, I think, you know, your dog stuck its head up my ass, but the dog wasn't there, you know, because it'd feel weird, you know, but it's probably happened more often than you realize. And that's what we've noticed by investigating places. You know, we tell it how it is, and people are like, that's exactly what I had happen, you know, but they just weren't comfortable coming out and being like, hey, you know, the ghost touched me here, whatever, you know, like, or the ghost does this, or the ghost does that, you know, and I've had that happen to me, you know, so, I mean, you probably have had lots of people had interactions with the butt ghost.
Right.
That was fun to say, and I felt really good to say.
Well, I know we're wrapping up on our time frame here a lot for the show, but. Well, I had one thing that I didn't ask you about, and I did have a question. It was all those panels, and you living in New Jersey, where did you come up with having it in Salem, first of all? And then secondly, how did you transport everything to Salem? Did you have to rent like a what did you have to rent? I'm sure you couldn't just orchestrate that without renting something. Something had to be rented.
You know, I whenever people ask about Ouijazilla, you know, I tell them that I hand painted the board myself, but it took a village to help me do this. And my friends and family foremost, and the Talking Board Historical Society has been incredible in supporting me in doing this. our treasurer, John Kozik, just recently opened the first ever Ouija board museum in Salem, Massachusetts. It's called the Salem Witchboard
right.
Museum. And at the time he was doing all the town meetings to get his business open, he figured, you know what, because I kept wanting to unveil Ouijazilla in New Jersey. I'm like, you know what, it was made here in Jersey, I'm New Jersey represent, I'm all about pork roll and all this other stuff, right? And I go, I want to have it here. And John was like, but it would be so cool if you can do it in Salem. And John Kozik and Robert Murch, they both were like, yeah, Rick, we really should do Salem if we can. So John did all the legwork. He met with like the town council. He met with all the people. And they moved us around on many locations before we got approved for Salem Common. Originally, they gave us approval to have it down by the water, down on Pickering Wharf down there by the or Derby Wharf down by the lighthouse. And they had a storm when we were there. That would have blew that thing around like a potato chip because it was blowing boats up onto the beach right at the end of Ouijazilla. So that's how we ended up in Salem, by John Kozik. And then I was, you know, trying to fit in our budget. There's a reason why all those sponsors are around the outer edge of the board, because we really needed a lot of money to make this happen. So all these sponsors had generously donated, and I'm like, how do I show my appreciation? But I'm going to put them all on the board. So every photo that's out there, everybody gets to see who helped me, you know. All the paint was given to me by Benjamin Moore, another guy I tattoo. He manages a Benjamin Moore Paints. So that's where all that came from. So Trans-American Trucking, I'd asked them if they would give us like a good discount on shipping. And they were like, come on, dude, we're not going to take your money. My buddy Greg, he said, I'm so proud of you to see that you had this idea, and I'm watching this thing come all the way to completion. So they built me those shipping crates free of charge. They came and they picked them up with a forklift. Each one of those crates, they had to stay under 3,000 pounds. And they loaded them on a truck. They had a driver drive them all the way to Salem for me, unload them with a forklift. And then he went home. And then when the event was over, he came all the way up and picked it up and brought it back to Jersey free.
That's so
it was
awesome.
All donations.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
it really, really, it took a lot of people to help me do this. You know, I could not do it by myself.
That's so cool.
Well, now, where do you have it stored? That would be the other issue, is like storage.
Undisclosed location.
It's in a secret Zilla lair. No, it's actually stored right at Trans-American Trucking. They're holding it for me. So
well,
they gave me storage too. Those guys are unsung heroes of Ouijazilla.
It sounds like that, you know, they were not. I think they had a lot of faith in you, and maybe perhaps they liked the Ouija board. You never know. But
yeah.
I think they had a lot of faith
in
you, and they, you know, saw how hard you were working on it, and you know, that's so awesome.
Yeah. Well, my buddy Greg will never have to pay for a tattoo for as long as he lives. I'll just tattoo him forever.
That's pretty awesome, too.
I think what we need to do is we need to team up and bring the world's largest ghost box together. I think that's what we have to do. We have to have you build the casing.
That would be so loud.
I know. That would hurt.
If you did it outdoors, you wouldn't even...
It doesn't have to actually work. We could just, you know, have the facade of world's largest non-working ghost box.
Well, I think what you could do is you could just take one of our standard ghost boxes, which is like a Radio Shack. You know, they hack the Radio Shacks, and it's just the size of like a standard Walkman. And all you can do is you can build like a 20-foot by 40-foot box that says ghost box, and then we could just on the inside of it just have a mounted Walkman on the inside. No one would need to know no one would need to know the components are not up to par. It's just the size.
Right, we could put some kicker comps in there so it gives some, you know, some hit, and then we'll just there you go.
Well, you could just put a Walkman in an abandoned building and paint it and just say it's a ghost box then.
True. I like it.
You know, if you use the components, you'd probably pick up signals from space, then it'll become an alien box.
We could have a multi communicational device between spirit and alien forms.
We could have it light up really nice, kind of like Christmas Vacation when he puts it together. We can do it like that type of presentation.
I dig it. I think this would be good. All right, let's get to work on it, guys.
I'll get the wood for it.
You've got the wood, and I've got
the wood.
And I've got the washment, so now we're done.
I'm pretty sure I have some subwoofers around here somewhere, so I think we're ready.
I do have two sets of 12, so I've got 4 12. I've got a couple somewhere.
Yeah. I've got an amp. I mean, we got this.
A couple amps. I think we're good.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
We got it.
Game on.
All we need is the wood.
And the plan. Yeah. Now we got it. Now we put it all together real nice. And one day, maybe it'll happen. See, that's the difference between your plan and us. We talk about it. Like, we have all these great ideas. And then, not saying that this one that we just had was super great, but when we do, we have really great ideas. It's just, you know, doing the rest of it, which you managed to do, which I give you a lot of credit, because I know with the family you know, work and everything else, it's hard to find the time to do that. And, you know, bringing everybody together and just making it happen is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank you on behalf of all of us who haven't had a chance to, because I think it's amazing. It's absolutely awesome.
Thank you so much.
I'll be working on those blueprints probably immediately. I'll get some over to you.
Okay.
And I think we could have,
if
it was a Ouija board theme, World's Largest Ghost Box.
Yes, but that'd be great.
It would be kind of like in your
forte.
You know, wheelhouse in Forte. I think it could be like your trademark thing, is building this giant. And then next year, we have this thing called REM pods that are light up. You know, if you use your energy to light them up. So we could do the world's largest REM pod the year after.
Can we make the world's largest diving rod?
Yes.
Diving rod set, you know. Can we make them light up one?
Right.
We could have the world's largest museum. And it could literally just be all the world's largest items all together. I don't know how the hell we could pay the rent. But we could probably, you know, take it up somehow. We'll borrow some wood from those guys and we'll build it, right? If you build it, they will come.
Right.
You know what the best part about it is? Like, I think the biggest ghost box I've ever seen is like maybe 2 foot by 4 foot. So like the expectations are not that we can make it like a 6 foot by 6 foot board.
A coffin? Let's do a coffin box.
Yes, just a coffin. Make it look like a coffin. So, you know, like 3 foot by 4 foot is like the biggest one I've ever seen. So we don't have to go that big.
No.
You gotta go big.
Yeah.
You gotta make it the size of an 18-wheeler.
I'm good with that.
That gets attention.
Let's do it. It does. I'm down.
All right.
We can walk inside of it and just turn the Walkman on, and we're all set.
If we ever need a place to sleep, we can sleep inside of it. You know, it's multi-purpose. It's good. We can store our Christmas lights in it. I mean, this is coming together.
Well, we definitely appreciate your time tonight. And
yes.
I think this interview came together better than I anticipated. Hopefully you anticipated.
The brainstorming has been amazing, guys.
Yes,
the butt goes. I mean, and then, you know, we do Zilla. I mean, this has just been, it's been awesome. For sure.
Well, thanks so much.
I definitely enjoyed myself. Thank you for coming on.
We'll have to do it again, and we'll have to seriously consider that World's Largest Ghost Box.
Yep.
And if you ever need anything from us, just let us know. And
definitely.
We'll investigate with you soon. We'll bring you guys out to investigation.
Yeah.
Oh, we would love that.
Awesome. Well, thank you again.
Thanks,
guys.
Have
a good night. Thanks.
You too.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, now we have a plan.
We do. We got a lot of work to do.
World's largest ghost box.
Yep. So now you said it, you know, there's like at least 2 people who are probably already steadily working away on theirs because they have to do that.
One diverse, I've already found that.
Yeah.
The fact that we streamed back in 2008 and someone said, hey, I streamed in 2014. We streamed way before you did. And I was like, well, that's not true.
Yep, because math. Yep, you're right.
Yeah. The ghost box thing. You know, they...
It's funny, but...
Interesting group of people.
It is. But, you know, then there's the rest of us. And, you know, so So there you go. But tonight's guest was pretty, exactly, and our guest tonight was pretty friggin' awesome. It's neat to see somebody who actually had an idea and really put it all together and make it happen. So hopefully we'll get to actually see it in person one day. But yeah. Well, I want to wish everyone a happy and safe Halloween. You know, because it's coming. Some kids are trick or treating like already. So.
Well, I haven't gone trick or treating yet.
I haven't either.
I'm gonna go this year.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going.
All right. Well, we'll see everyone next Tuesday, and we'll have another great show and more fun stuff to talk about.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful, wonderful night and a great weekend, everybody. Bye.